I'm so glad to be here with you all tonight. Oh, welcome everyone. So good to see you. Yay. Let's just pause for a moment, take in the shared space. It's pretty amazing, right? That we can meet this way, right? It's sharing through like energy and light and electricity, right? And that we can share from like far away. So it's pretty amazing. Just take in each other, right? On the screen. Take in the room that you're in, the objects around you, the shared space, the Sangha time together. Just acknowledging that we're all arriving from different experiences. That we're bringing, our whole lives here with us, everything that we're carrying. Just acknowledge it, whatever you're holding in your heart, in your body, in your mind, whatever you're holding in the whole of your life today. Just acknowledging and honoring that as part of this whole experience. And I invite you to notice that you have a body and take care of your body during our practice together. And notice how the practice and the talk and our discussion later, how it all lands for you in your body and in your heart. And so feel free to get whatever you need for your body to be comfortable this evening. Blankets, pillows, you can feel free to sit or lay down. You can feel free to be in whatever position is comfortable for your body moment to moment. And please honor whatever access needs you might be bringing with you tonight. And you can always reach out to Emiko for support if needed. So tonight, we're going to be talking about loving kindness, working with loving kindness. And so I really invite you as we practice. We'll start out with being aware of the anchor of the body and the breath. And then I'm going to invite you to notice when thoughts arise and be so gentle with them as they arise, like to let the loving kindness practice permeate our mindfulness, to let the loving kindness practice be how we meet each thought as it arises. To meet it with friendliness, to meet it with gentleness. I love the phrasing that Arina Weissman uses. She uses that phrasing of accompany yourself back to the breath. So I'm going to really invite you into that over and over again tonight as we practice. So go ahead and settle in to your body. See if you can lean your back body so that your shoulders are in line with your hips, your head in line with your spine. And on your inhale, let your chest lift, let your shoulders lift, let your whole inner body get full and open and long. And on your exhale, let yourself rest through wherever your body is touching support. On your inhale, invite in length and opening from the sacrum all the way up the vertebrae, all the way up to the crown of the head. And on your exhale, let yourself settle into that support of the chair, of wherever you're sitting or lying or resting. Feel that support of the earth underneath you. And as you breathe here, notice how your inhale lifts and fills your chest and your belly. And Now your exhale lets your chest and belly soften and release. With each inhale, invite in length and spaciousness. And on your exhale, letting yourself settle into your body, into this moment. Maybe the breath is clearest for you in the belly and the chest, or maybe through the back of the throat, or through the nostrils, or along the upper lip. Wherever you notice the breath most easily, you can let that be the place you return to. Just that gentle shift in your attention to the breath brings you back home to the present moment. Notice where your feet are resting without having to adjust them. Notice if they feel warm or cool, tense or relaxed. See if you can feel your feet from the inside. Notice where your hands are resting. Notice if they feel warm or cool. Notice how even when they're resting, there can be the sense of readiness in the hands, readiness to respond. Maybe there's some tingling. See if you can feel their aliveness from the inside. Just remembering that these sensations in the body, sensation of the breath moving through the body are always right here in the present moment. Sounds also arise in the present moment. So if that's an easier place to notice, feel free to let sounds help bring you back. Just that gentle noticing. It's a hair's breadth of attention. No matter how far away your thoughts take you into fantasies about the future, worry or nostalgia about the past, maybe rehearsed arguments. Maybe to-do lists. Whatever thoughts arise, see if you can meet them with so much gentleness, that infusion of loving kindness towards each thought as it arises. Turning towards it with gentleness, without judgment, and then gently inviting yourself back to the breath, back to these sensations in the body, back to this moment. Notice what's here. And see if you can notice without judgment. Notice what's arising. No reason to make yourself wrong or give yourself a hard time about it. Instead, to turn towards whatever's here with gentleness. Ah, yes, this is part of what it is to be human. This experience, part of what it is to be this corner of the universe that goes by your name. And so, with that gentle, spacious noticing, invite yourself with so much friendliness to arrive back at the breath. That sensation of the breath lifting the chest and releasing it again. Accompany yourself back to the present moment. What's arising? Notice if there's aversion or disliking some thought or some part of your experience, maybe disliking a sound. Or maybe there's pleasantness that you're grasping onto. Notice if there's sleepiness or restlessness. Maybe there's distraction or doubt. And see if you can notice each one of these things with a sense of friendliness. This is what's arising. Just acknowledging it. Not needing to push it away or resist it. This is what's here. And then so gently invite yourself to return your attention back to the sensation of the breath moving in and out of the body. Invite yourself to arrive back home in this moment. And as you breathe here, notice if there's some part of your body that feels warm and easeful. Maybe your belly, or maybe your chest, maybe some other place in your body that just feels relaxed and supported. And breathe into that place. And on your exhale, let that warmth expand. Let it expand through your torso, through the legs, down to the feet. Let it expand through the shoulders, through the arms and hands, and up to the neck and head. Each inhale, draw in a sense of warmth and ease towards yourself. And on your exhale, let it extend out all the way to the tips of your toes, to your fingertips, up to the crown of the head, to every cell, every muscle, every bone in your body. Each inhale, draw in warmth and ease and friendliness towards yourself. And on your exhale, let it extend out to all of the tender places in your heart, all of the forgotten places, all the wounded places, offering this balm of friendliness and ease. Each inhale, you draw in that warmth and friendliness towards yourself. And on your exhale, extend it out now beyond yourself, beyond your body. Let it reach out into the room, the home, the building you're in, all of the beings and creatures around you. Each inhale, draw in warmth, ease, friendliness towards yourself. And on your exhale, extend it back out in all directions. Let it spill out the windows and the doors onto the streets and sidewalks, to the homes and businesses, the highways and byways. Each inhale, draw in warmth, ease, friendliness towards yourself. And on your exhale, extend it back out in all directions. Let it radiate out in front of you and behind you, infinitely above you and below you, to the left and the right of you. Each inhale, draw in that warmth and ease and friendliness towards yourself. And exhale, extend it out in all directions to all of the beings, all of the creatures, the two-leggeds and four-leggeds and six-leggeds, the eight-leggeds, the many-leggeds, all the variation of legs, the no-leggeds, the finned ones, the winged ones, the tree friends and plant friends, the megafauna and the microfauna. Each inhale, draw in warmth and ease and friendliness towards yourself. And on your exhale, extend it back out to the hills and the mountains, the valleys, the streams and rivers, the bay and the ocean. Each inhale, draw in warmth, ease, friendliness towards yourself. And on your exhale, extend it out across the continent, across the hemisphere, across the whole planet, all the places remembered and forgotten, visited and never visited. Each inhale, draw in the warmth and ease and friendliness towards yourself. And on your exhale, extend it out to the planet and the solar system, all of the planets orbiting around the sun in their own paths, the sun that warms us, provides us energy and light. Each inhale, draw in the warmth and ease and friendliness towards yourself. And on your exhale, extend it out to the solar system and the galaxy and the galaxies beyond our galaxy, to the universe and the universes beyond our universe. Each inhale, draw in warmth and ease and friendliness towards yourself. And on your exhale, extend it back out. Let it reach out in all directions to all beings everywhere. Go ahead and stretch and move a little bit and notice how our practice together landed for you and your body, how it's landing, how it's resonating or not. And if you'd like to share in the chat how you're feeling right now, what's arising for you, maybe anything that shifted, would love to hear from you. Feel free to add to the chat. And welcome to those who came in during the practice. Welcome everyone, if we haven't had a chance to welcome you yet. Yeah, how are you doing? Feel free to Oh, nice. Riley sharing. I just giggled when he went out into the solar system. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Still off a little bit from the change of the hour. So sleepy. Oh, totally understand that. Yeah. Oh, Pluto Shits on the Universe by Fatima Aska is a happy and jubilant poem of rebellion. Ooh, that sounds great. So remembering just to do whatever you need to do to take care of your body. Noticing what and how is landing for your body this evening. And I want to start out by just acknowledging kind of where we are in the seasons. We're just a week or so away from the beginning of spring on the Julian calendar, March 21st, which is exciting. We're also in the waning crescent phase of the moon right now. And just noticing what arises for you in this transition. Here in California, we're just moving in the transition. We've had a long, cold, rainy winter, which is unusual in for many of us. And just moving into the signs of spring. I was just riding my bike around the neighborhood this afternoon and noticing all of the little trees with their tiny little buds on them. So just taking in for yourself the how the change of seasons lands for you and your body and your spirit. Oh yeah, sharing. Yeah, the light is gorgeous, the orchids are blooming. Yeah, really lovely. Yeah, so tonight we're going to be talking about loving kindness practice. And I want to invite you to think for yourself, you know, how have you engaged with loving kindness practice in your own practice and your own life? I know for myself that I can say with great confidence that loving kindness practice has changed my life. It's been very transformative. More than 20 years ago when I started exploring yoga and Buddhism, my inner critic dominated every part of my life. When my inner critic said jump, I jumped. Like I didn't have any separation from my inner critic at all. I didn't identify, my inner narration was my inner critic. And it negatively reinforced everything about my life, my body, my relationships, my work. It was, and when I sat quietly, when I closed my eyes and listen to my own inner voice. It was so critical. It was like My inner landscape was all like cactus and broken glass and landmines. It's like anywhere you walked, like something terrible could happen. There was it was difficult. It's difficult for me to be alone with my own thoughts because of that. And so what I found was that by starting out with a very simple loving kindness practice of repeating the phrases just to myself over and over again, right? May I be happy? May I be well? May I be safe? May I be full of peace? I slowly transformed my inner landscape from being a wasteland into being a really beautiful place to be, a really beautiful place to enjoy, an inner compassionate environment that can support me in the midst of whatever I'm going through, whatever I'm experiencing, whatever's happening in my life. And so I'm going to share with you a little bit tonight about the foundational teachings around loving kindness, especially about the benefits, what the Buddha said the benefits were, what the modern benefits are. Like they've done a lot of studying now into the benefits of loving kindness practice in our modern age. And so it's really interesting to know how the Buddha first offered loving kindness practice more than 25, 2600 years ago, as well as what he says the benefits are of it. And the story is that during the rainy season practice, which is like a 3-month meditation practice during the rainy season in Asia, that the monks, a group of monks, was practicing in a forest, and they arrived in this forest and they started to like set up, and they're for their long practice. And there were all these deities, all these spirits that lived in that forest. And the deities at first were like, oh, okay, there's people here, whatever. But then they overheard the monks, the bhikkhus, talking about how they were going to be there for 3 months. And the tree deities were not happy. They were like, wait, what? You're going to be here for 3 months? And they were so unhappy about it that they settled on a plan to try to scare the monks away. And so they would like, they had like spooky voices, and they would like, like have like glowing eyes in the dark and do all kinds of things to try to scare the monks away. It's like a, like a horror film, like trying to do all these very spooky, ghostly things to scare off the monks. And the monks were scared. And so they went and they talked to the Buddha and they said, what should we do? Should we move? Should we find a different forest? And we don't know how to practice under these conditions where like it's, there's this like hostility and like wanting us to leave. And the Buddha, as in response, gave them the Metta Sutta. He gave them the Loving Kindness Sutta. And he advised them to repeat it and to offer it over and over again for their protection. And so the monks then went back to the forest and practicing the Metta Sutta, repeating it to themselves. It said that they permeated the whole atmosphere with their radiant thoughts of loving kindness, and that the deities were really deeply affected by this love, this friendliness, right? This sense of openness that was coming to them. And not only did they stop harassing the monks, but they became really delighted by the monks' presence. And they were delighted that they were there, and they helped to take care of them, and they helped them to protect the monks as well. And so that invitation, right? I think it's really useful to remember that the Metta Sutta, like we can think about loving kindness as being this kind of like frothy, it almost fits into this kind of like new age positivity kind of vibe, but instead to realize like the Buddha gave it to the bhikkhus as a form of, as this offering of protection, as an antidote to fear, right? As a way of being able to stand in our, or to sit, or to just be in our, in within ourselves, to be able to show up fully in the moment. And so some of the benefits that the Buddha said came from loving kindness practice. There are 11 benefits. And it's interesting to note these, right? From 2600 years ago, here are some of the benefits that the Buddha said from loving kindness practice. You will sleep easily. You will wake easily. You will have pleasant dreams. And for any of us who have suffered from insomnia, right, we know that these are not insignificant, right? You will sleep easily, you will wake easily, you will have pleasant dreams. Then people will love you. Devas, gods, angels, and animals will love you. Devas will protect you. And I love this, right? Like this is so, it's so interesting, right? It goes directly to that story, right? Of like the devas protecting the monks, loving, being delighted by the monk's presence instead of being threatened by it, right? And there is this sort of invitation of like we're sort of changing our own relationship to the world around us, to whatever's arising, and to feel into the possibilities around that. Then the Buddha goes on. This one is really interesting. This one's like a superpower. Buddha says, external dangers such as poisons, weapons, and fire will not harm you. And I love that as a possibility. I do not recommend running into a burning building with just the metta sutta in hand. Think it's not necessarily a good idea. But it is interesting to, invite in this possibility of meeting the world with loving kindness and how that might or might not, right, change how we relate to difficult circumstances around us. Then the Buddha goes on. This one is kind of a more cosmetic one. Your face will be radiant. That's nice, right? Your mind will be serene. Those are actually really lovely ones, right? Your face will be radiant, your mind will be serene. And these are real, these are actually real benefits of certainly of, calming ourselves, being able to settle into a sense of well-being and kindness towards ourselves and others. Then the Buddha goes on, the last two benefits are you will die unconfused. And you will be reborn in happy realms. You will die unconfused, and you will be reborn in happy realms. And I think just to drop this in, the dying unconfused, I think, is really the confusion is really believing that we are separate from each other. And one of the really beautiful aspects of loving kindness practice is it helps us remember that we're not separate. That when I'm offering loving kindness practice for you, for myself, for all beings, right, that there's really not the separation between us. I had a student ask me this week, she was like, is it really okay if I just do loving kindness practice for myself? It was like, what are the, are there proven benefits to like just doing it for yourself versus doing it for all beings? And here's the secret to that. Because there's no real separation between us, when you're doing loving kindness practice for yourself, you're also doing it for all beings. And when you're doing loving kindness practice for all beings, you're also doing it for yourself. That doing loving kindness practice in any direction, because you're not separate, to let it be this reminder that you are not separate from yourself or from anyone or anything. And I'm going to work this in more as I talk this evening. So I also want to share with you some of the benefits. This was from Psychology Today, 18 science-backed reasons to practice loving kindness. And there's a lot of really interesting things in here that it's interesting to see which ones correspond with what the Buddha said were the benefits of loving kindness, right? So things like Loving kindness increases positive emotions and decreases negative emotions. It increases the tone of your vagus nerve, and which tends to increase feelings of social connection and a sense of overall well-being. Here's interesting. This is stuff they've actually studied, right? That loving kindness practice helps to decrease migraines, PTSD, chronic pain, and also is said to decrease symptoms of schizophrenic disorders. I had never heard that one before. It also activates empathy and emotional processing in the brain, right? That's interesting, right? That and the social connection, it's like when the Buddha says, like, devas will love you, people will love you, animals will love you, right? It's like that activation of empathy. It's like interesting to think about how that might work. It increases gray matter in the brain, which is good for your self-awareness and for your awareness of others as well. It stimulates the parasympathetic nervous system, which is your rest and relaxation and digestion response. It's the anti-stress, anti-sympathetic nervous system response, right? It lowers the cortisol and the adrenaline. Oh, here's something. This goes along with it. Makes your face radiant. It slows biological aging. That's interesting, right? It's also said to make you more helpful, to increase your compassion, to decrease bias. Decreasing bias, that's interesting, right? It helps to curb self-criticism. I've definitely experienced that myself. And it's said to be effective even in small doses and has a long-term impact. That's a lot of things, right? That's a lot of benefits. So interesting to think about. And so I'm curious, for you, what are some of the benefits you've noticed from your own loving kindness practice? And how can you bring more loving kindness practice into your life in a way that's actually effective, right? That actually works for you, that resonates for you. I'll share with you, I was scrolling through Instagram and I found this little post that was a mother talking about she was standing in the doorway putting her 3-year-old daughter to sleep. And she's turned out the light and she's like, just close the door. She's just standing at the crack of the door and she hears her daughter whisper to herself, "Good night, myself. I love you. I love you too." Like a little 3-year-old, right? Just whispering that to herself, "Good night, myself." It's so sweet. And that, it really makes me think, like, do you remember a time when you loved yourself unconditionally? And it makes me wonder too, right? How do we lose touch with our unconditional self-love? And I know for myself that even though I've been doing work around loving kindness and self-love for decades now, it always seems like there's another layer of self-kindness or self-compassion that I can learn to drop into. There's really some little part of me that could use a little more of it. And so it's that question, right? Where's a place in your life where you could love yourself a little better? Can you love yourself through your mistakes? Maybe loving yourself when you're silly or when you embarrass yourself. Maybe being able to hold yourself with loving kindness when you break something or when you forget to do something. Maybe when you screw something up. Maybe when you get overwhelmed. Maybe when you compare yourself to other people. Or maybe when we just feel kind of, put upon by the world. It's just that question of like, where in your life could you be a little more gentle with yourself? And there are some traditional ways of practicing loving kindness, right? Like we just did the radiating metta practice at the end of our practice together. And that radiating metta practice is actually as far as I understand, the most traditional way of practicing loving kindness. Then there's this more, slightly more modern way of practicing loving kindness with the repeating phrases, right? But one of the things that I really love about loving kindness practice is that it's not a fixed practice. You can create whatever phrases resonate for you. You can offer it to whoever makes sense for you. It's not about saying the right words. It's about finding a little crack in our hearts where genuine warmth and friendliness can trickle through and eventually become a stream and a river and an ocean that we can rest into when we need it most. And so I want to encourage you, right? And especially in the interest of like queering things up. Like, let's innovate with our loving kindness practice. You know, just last night, I was asking a group of students who have been practicing with me for a while, I was asking, like, how do you experience loving kindness practice in your daily lives? And their responses were so great. It's things like setting boundaries with family members as an act of loving kindness, right? Journaling as loving kindness, tracking our emotional labor as loving kindness, being gentle with ourselves around work, changing the tone of the inner critic, changing that inner narration to being one of friendly encouragement, right, instead of harshness. Being realistic about one's workload and finding time for ourselves, right? All these things can be loving kindness practice, right? Using loving kindness practice to help us fall asleep at night. My wife also included some things in as loving kindness practice. She suggested that she experiences going outside, just like going outside and breathing some fresh air and having your feet on the earth and feeling the wind and the sunlight as a loving kindness practice. She also likes to give like extra love, extra metta to our dogs and our cats and our chickens. And you can mix walking meditation practice with metta practice, right? Every step, may you be happy. May you be well. May you be safe. May you be full of peace. Right, and offering it to yourself and to the earth and to the birds and the insects and the trees, all the human and other than human beings. It's also really nice to think about your self-care as a type of loving kindness. Right? When you put your seatbelt on and drive carefully, that's loving kindness. Stopping for pedestrians at the crosswalk. Brushing your teeth, taking a shower, putting on clothes that are comfortable, eating food that helps your body feel good is a type of loving kindness for yourself. And when we're taking mindful, loving care of ourselves, it's sure a lot easier to offer loving kindness out to other people, right? And many times when, many times I've done loving kindness practice, as a student in a group, starting with ourselves, moving to a benefactor, then a neutral person, then sometimes a difficult person, and then to all beings everywhere. But I've noticed, I don't know if you've noticed this too, that sometimes teachers will skip over the difficult person. And sometimes that's fine, right? If we're feeling overwhelmed in general, we just need a calming practice, like to do, work with what's easy can be always be good. But it's also important in our practice to sometimes include the difficult person because, right, in this, in understanding the non-separation, right, the difficult person really just represents difficult aspects of ourselves. And if we can send metta to difficult people, we can better hold the difficult parts of ourselves with friendliness. And vice versa, right? By sending friendliness and love to the difficult parts of ourselves, we can better meet difficult people and difficult situations in our lives with more openness. And I love this, as part of this practice, bell hooks, her, she has a really beautiful quote. She's a Buddhist and feminist Black scholar and such a badass. But bell hooks said, love is an act of will, both an intention and an action. Right? Love is an act of will, both an intention and an action. And it's good to, we can get a little idealistic about love and loving kindness. And in some ways, it's easier to imagine sending loving vibes out to like people we don't know than to the difficult people we do know. And that those difficult people we're close to, those difficult people we struggle with. But people we don't know can be hard too. And this is one of the real beauties of loving kindness practice. And this is something that Tara Brach talks about, is that how the practice of loving kindness can help us overcome one of the great blights of our society today, which is demonizing the unreal other. Like looking at people in our country or in the world and unconsciously thinking of them as like automatons, like barely real, these kind of like flat, two-dimensional beings whose well-being doesn't matter to us. And this tendency to think of others as other, right, and to treat them as unreal is what allows institutions like prisons and jails to engage in all of the unchecked abuse that we hear about and that we don't hear about. It allows police to be unaccountable. It allows people to buy into wild conspiracy theories that alienate them from their neighbors and their families, right? It allows conservative politicians to demonize drag queens and trans folk and trans kids and their parents and somehow take a stand against the most amazing innovation, right? Drag queen story hour. Like, what could possibly be wrong with making learning to read be fabulous, right? It's almost incomprehensible. But we all do this to a certain degree, right? In large ways and small ways, right? We can harden ourselves towards others without even realizing it. And sometimes it's because we can't stand to let ourselves feel what others are going through. And also, honestly, it's not our fault, right? Sometimes it's just too much to take in, right? We didn't actually evolve as humans to be in relationship with more than about 150 people at a time. And so our brains and nervous systems just don't know what to do with so much information about so many people. Our nervous systems are not built for the task of responding to all the stimulus that we get from other humans 24 hours a day, 365 days a week, a year. 365 days in a week is a that's a lot of days in a week. And so loving kindness can be a really sweet way to let the world in, to soften a bit towards it in a way that's manageable for our nervous systems. And to always remember, right, it's a practice to help us overcome hatred and fear. Right? And there's a Buddhist aphorism, it's often attributed to the Buddha, that hatred is like holding a hot coal in your hand and expecting the other person to get burned. Right? And this is where like hatred and fear are both sort of categorized as aversion in Buddhist practice, right? And it can be so good to see how that transforms into anger and to look at our anger and to look at the woundedness that our hatred and our anger are protecting, right? And can we turn towards that woundedness with love? Right? What love, what caring is behind our anger? What do we love enough? What do we have courage enough to be angry about? And hopefully we're protecting something bigger than our own ego. I really love the work by Lamaurad Owens in his book, Love and Rage. He says, we need to be aware of our anger, to look at what purpose it serves. What is it protecting? And he invites us to transform it, but only if we want to, only if we're ready, only if it serves us. Right? But first, we have to turn towards our anger and get to know it lovingly as a teacher. And then we give it lots of space, as much space as it needs, to learn to love ourselves in the middle of our anger. And so this is, it's really good to start where it's easy, right? To start with loving kindness towards a friend, right? Then turn it maybe towards ourselves, or maybe start with ourselves. Then towards a neutral person, then towards the difficult person, but not the most difficult person. I'm going to talk us through this a little bit too. Don't go to your, like, from 1 to 10, don't go to your number 10 difficult person. It's really good to work with someone who's like a 3 or a 4 instead. And to really cultivate patience and love towards our own difficult parts of ourselves, our anger, our own hatred, our own fear. That patience and love, that loving kindness practice can start to soften it, can help bring more awareness to it. To be able to hold your angry self with love, that's a superpower, right? To see the love behind your anger, to give it space, to let it breathe. To know that we don't have to lash out with it, but can be informed by its intensity and care for and turn towards what it's protecting. So I'd like to invite you here. We're going to do a little bit of loving kindness practice. And I want to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. So just take a moment, grab a small piece of paper is fine, even like something like a post-it note or a scrap. You just need to be able to write 5 little points. You can even number, you can make little numbers. You can just say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and we'll fill them in. So for number one, it's good to write these down because then when we're doing the practice, you don't have to think about it. You don't have to come up with it out of nowhere. So for number one, remember that story about the little girl saying goodnight to herself? Good night, myself. I love you. I love you too. I want you to imagine yourself at that age, at 3 or 2 or 1 or even younger. Maybe a photo of yourself that you remember. There's a photo of me that I remember as like an apartment in the backyard of an apartment that we lived at where I must have had my first Easter of like looking for Easter eggs, and I was holding the Easter egg in my hand and just had the most amazing smile on my face, just like pure delight and awe. And that's the picture that I use in my head. So you can imagine a photograph, or if not a photograph, just the sort of self-image of yourself as a very, very young being. And you can maybe jot a couple of words as like just a little reminder of that image of yourself. And then for number two, go ahead and can write down the name of a friend, a benefactor, somebody who you do not have very complicated feelings about. This is really the key part. Somebody who's been like a real support for you. It doesn't even have to be somebody you've ever met. It could be somebody who's been like a real inspiration for you. It could be an animal. Could be a pet, it could be an ancestor, maybe somebody in your life who said just the right thing to you in a moment when you really needed it, somebody who supported you or who offered you an act of kindness, somebody who mirrored the truth of who you are back to you just when you needed it most. So write down a word or two that helps remind you of that person. And remember, this person represents a whole category. So you don't have to write down a bunch of people, just one person who sort of represents that whole category. Remember, because none of this is separate. Then, for number three, invite in a neutral person. And a neutral person is somebody who maybe you know their name, maybe you don't. It's like your mail carrier, a cashier, a barista, a clerk at a store, a neighbor, right? Somebody you have like friendly, but you don't know very many details about their life. That is your neutral person. Right? It's the neutral person is so important for overcoming that unreal other, right? Like inviting in the sense of them being multidimensional. And then for number four, you're a difficult person. And just remember, so on a scale of like 1 to 10, 10 being like the person who's caused you the most trauma in your life, you do not want to work with that person. That is not what we're here for right now. Don't want to overwhelm your nervous system, right? Instead, work with somebody who's like on the scale of like vaguely irritating, like somewhat annoying. And this is a good place that it's good to work with somebody who you care about, but who you have some complexity with, who can be like kind of a like a person you care about, but who's also a difficult person for you. That's a good person to work with. So again, remembering this person just represents the whole category, so choosing just one person as a representative is fine. Just write down a word or two about that. And then for all beings everywhere, for number five, I want you to write down whatever image comes to you when you think about all beings everywhere. So it could be like just imagining a big crowd of all the animals and humans on the planet. It could be imagining the globe or imagining the map. It could be that photograph of the Earth from the moon. Right? You've seen the blue ball in space. It could be, right, seeing the solar system, or it could be, that graphic of like the whole Milky Way galaxy, and then there's an arrow that's pointing like you are here. So whatever image evokes for you all beings everywhere, and just make it jot down what that is for yourself. And don't worry if you have a category that's missing, don't worry about it. You can always come back to it later. And let's go ahead and settle in for a moment. We'll just do a short loving kindness practice with the phrases. Go ahead, settle into your breath and your body. Invite in that image of your young self, tiny, newly minted, innocent being that's still part of you. Invite in that image and wish yourself well with the phrases, may I be happy, may I be well, may I be safe, may I be full of peace. May I be happy. May I be well. May I be safe. May I be full of peace. Invite in a sense of warmth for this tiny being that is you. May I be happy. May I be well. May I be safe. May I be full of peace. And then see if you can turn that warmth. It's like the light of a lighthouse that you're then turning in another direction. You're turning it in the direction of that benefactor, that dear friend, that inspiration for you, that beloved animal. May you be happy. May you be well. May you be safe. May you be full of peace. May you be happy. May you be well. May you be safe. May you be full of peace. May you be happy. May you be well. May you be safe. May you be full of peace. And then turn that light of your loving kindness in the direction of the neutral person. May you be happy. May you be well. May you be safe. May you be full of peace. May you be happy. May you be well. May you be safe. May you be full of peace. May you be happy. May you be well. May you be safe. May you be full of peace. And then feeling that warmth of the heart, right, shining out. See if you can turn it in the direction of your difficult person. And if it's too hard to do your difficult person, go back to your benefactor. No problem. May you be happy. May you be well. May you be safe. May you be full of peace. Knowing that if this were true for our difficult person, maybe they would be less difficult. May you be happy. May you be well. May you be safe. May you be full of peace. May you be happy. May you be well. May you be safe. May you be full of peace. And now bring to mind that image of all beings everywhere. And shine that light in all directions infinitely. May all beings be happy. May all beings be well. May all beings be safe. May all beings be full of peace. May all beings be happy. May all beings be well. May all beings be safe. May all beings be full of peace. May all beings everywhere be happy. May all beings everywhere be well. May all beings everywhere be full of peace. May all beings everywhere be safe.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.